My name is Emma Grace Johnson. I am 18 years old. Today is November 2nd, 2018, and I am speaking with Alex Killingsworth, who is a religion major at Berry College. We are recording this interview in Mount Berry, Georgia. So, Alex, when you were growing up, what role did religion or spirituality play in your life?
Yeah, it didn't. I came to salvation to Christianity in college, so that was actually in the middle of freshman year. So I didn't really grow up in the church, and my parents were divorced when I was really young. So after a while,
I guess how I kind of explained it,
my brother and I kind of nagged at mom to not go to church. So when you're a single mother with two sons, you usually comply. So unfortunately, though mom tried to keep us in the church when we were younger, we stopped going. So it didn't really play a whole lot of any part in my life. I don't think at any point I ever would have said there isn't a God. But I also at the same time, I'd say that growing up, if there was one, he didn't want anything to do with me, was kind of the perspective that I had. So it played little to no role in my life. I kind of did what I want, and God let me alone in my life. So.
Did you have any sense of spirituality?
I mean, everyone does when bad things happen. So when things are rough, people usually cry out. So a little bit, but outside of times like that, no. Mm-mm, not at all.
So, are there any positive moments or memories that you think shaped who you are today? And are there any negative events or memories that have shaped you?
I think, though there have been positive memories, the negative ones have been the most shaping for me. Specifically, senior year of high school, around 3 weeks out of graduation, one of our friends, Trent Basden, he passed away in a car accident. It was kind of a freak thing, but that was kind of the first, I'll say, experience with God that I had. And we all got together afterwards the next morning, and I woke up to a text on my phone saying that he had passed. But all of our friends kind of got together, and one of my friends, Molly, she just kind of prayed for us. And that was the first time at which I'll say that I actually like felt God's presence and felt not terrible, which is interesting, but it was almost just like a blanket of calmness and clarity was put over everyone that was there, and that was kind of like the profound negative experience like of my life, and that was right at the end of high school. Second time, a similar experience happened here last year with David Shankles, who was a student, and had another very similar experience with a lot of those friends, and getting to walk through that with them as well, almost in a cynical way, round two. But yeah, so I think though mostly negative experiences is kind of what I go to in terms of what has really like shaped who I am and shaped how I've gotten here. There have been obviously good experiences. None are currently coming to mind, which is kind of sad, but I'm just gonna run with that now.
So, what was different round two, as you said, with David?
People go into, I'll say, a questioning phase where people are either angry with God, don't understand how it is possible, why it happened, what happened even. And specifically with that, especially coming to know God myself through the first experience with Trent, those questions were kind of already answered for me. It was clear and apparent how God could turn something terrible like this and use it for good. So with David, a lot of that processing I had already done or was already prepared to do. Excuse me. So I think those are mainly the differences in it. I got to walk through a lot of those questions with other people. And also I played more of a supportive role, but it was also a much tighter-knit community. My high school is huge. There is more students there than there are at Berry. There's around 2,400 or so. And though the circle of friends was very close and a lot of people knew Trent, it was nothing like the community Barry has. You didn't walk around and just like constantly see people you know and say hey to everyone you walk past. So I'll say like those are probably some big and or small differences in terms of the second program.
So have you ever had a profound religious experience?
The first one with Trent, that was quite profound. I guess another, to use a different example, was freshman year, second semester, spring semester. This is freshman year in college. I pretty much had a really interesting experience with track and field. And it was this, I'll say, arc of events where I, after coming to know who God is and to actually start searching for who he is, what his name means, that kind of thing, I went through a period of, I want to say running away, but not actually surrendering and following God like I was meant to do. But it started with, I got pneumonia January of that semester. And then I went through a period of injuries. So I got pneumonia. I tore the labrum in my hip. I got tendonitis in my knee. I pulled my hamstring twice. And then through a bunch of those times, it was more of a, Psalm 23 was one that was on my lips often throughout this period, especially the verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside the still waters. Because it says he makes me lie down in green pastures, it's oftentimes he has to make one lie down. And that culminated in Ultimate Frisbee Regionals in the tournament where I laid out in the end zone for a disc and broke my collarbone. So yes, I caught it in the end zone. So it was the arc of first semester was not that great either. I was sick the entire time, but it started really with pneumonia, ended with collarbone. So it's this big arc of like, Alex, calm down, seek to know who I am, and which I was refusing to do, which I'm also someone who has to keep going, has to keep doing things. So I'm very achievement oriented. And I don't relax well. So that was something that I definitely had to be like forced to do. So I'd say like that's a secondary experience that I would hold the one with Trent above that one for using it as a hierarchy. But that's like a different experience that was that arc.
So when your experience with Trent passing away, did that kind of get the ball rolling with your faith? Where did your faith go from there?
I won't say I got the ball rolling, but I would say that it definitely moved it. I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't go to church, didn't pray, didn't read a Bible. I didn't have a Bible, any of those things. So actually after that, I went and talked to Molly and said, hey, I think this thing could possibly be real. can you help me buy a Bible? So I went to the store and I was actually texting back and forth. I'm just like, because there's like a billion translations and it's like the most intimidating thing ever. You'd think we would be able to make a really accessible way to, and we do, it's just so intimidating to someone who isn't familiar with all the different translations and that kind of thing. So bought my first Bible and occasionally I would flip through it, but that was right at the end of high school. I think that actually happened after graduation. And then did not get saved until January of the next year. Excuse me, so I guess January 2017. So it was probably 6 months later when I actually got saved. But through that period of time, buying my first Bible to 2017, I was just reading a little bit, nothing too crazy, and then kind of wrapping my head around what this could possibly mean for my future, and is this something that I can do with my life, and is this something that I want to do? So it, in a sense, got the ball rolling, but it was very much a delayed process.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, what version of the Bible did you end up getting?
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember?
Not a good one. I was at Walmart, and they had, like, literally nothing. No ESV, no NIV, anything like that. It was, like, MSV or something, like, weird. Okay. Modern Standard Version, yeah. Something. I'm not a fan of the translation anymore. I don't use the Bible anymore, but, yeah, I think it was MSV.
Okay. What important lessons have your religious or spiritual beliefs taught you?
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. What important lessons have your religious or spiritual beliefs taught you?
Mm-hmm. A lot.
It's a big question.
Yeah. So, I think, especially in high school, I don't want to say I was a much more cynical person. I didn't love others well. I wasn't very relational. And I think that's probably the biggest area that I had to grow up in. Because though I had my small, tight-knit group of very close friends that I did share with and did do life with, if people were outside of that, it didn't really matter to me. They didn't care. I didn't care as much about them as I did my close friends, which, like, to an extent, okay, we probably should, or we do. I won't say we probably should, but so specifically with that, I think my love for other people and for others that share the image of God that I do and that everyone else around us does, especially people of other races, other genders. My love for these people has grown so much, for people that are different than I am. I grew up in Cumming, Georgia, which is like the third most conservative county in the U.S. or something ridiculous. So everyone, I don't want to say everyone around me is a little bit of a racist, but like there, especially those like social prejudices existed. And were almost reinforced growing up. And they were reinforced growing up. So in those aspects of my life, I grew up a lot. I learned a lot of maturity through spiritual practice, through understanding who God is and how He calls me to act in a community of not just believers, but unbelievers as well.
So can you tell me about someone who has mentored you?
I'm having to pick right now. I'll go with
you can go with more than one.
There we go. I'll start with John Major, who is my AP economics teacher in high school. I had him senior year of high school. And that was the first time, he was the first one that ever, the first teacher that ever really like pushed me to do my best work. And I was one of those kids that just like grew up and didn't really study or anything, didn't do school well, but still made good enough grades and that kind of thing. By no means like excelled or anything, but I didn't have a working hard mentality in anything schoolwork. It took until senior year to get there. Really college, but I'll start with, I'll be generous to myself and say senior year. Excuse me. And I had a light course load and I really loved economics. I started talking to him a lot. I was actually an economics major here for a while. Realized I hate math. So especially like getting to sit down with him and coming from a family who don't have college degrees. Neither of my parents have their bachelor's or anything like that. So all of this was kind of murky waters for me. And getting to sit down with John Major and actually talk about things that are coming and decisions that I'm having to make and that kind of thing. He was one that for sure, I'll say got the ball rolling in terms of my post-high school path. Because like the counselors in high school, like they try, they do. I love them. But it's just like not intentional enough. No one's sitting down and asking me personally, hey, have you thought about college yet? Have you, especially with a school with that many students, they don't have the faculty for it. So it's like, not like I'm faulting them or anything, but it's very difficult to do that and have that intentionality. So he was someone that actually got to sit down with me and say like, well, what's next? And he was someone who pushed me to be here, pushed me to go somewhere and pick something and do something. I eventually chose, I came in pre-med, because that's what a lot of students do. Eventually switched to econ, and then realized I hated math, and I said, sorry, major. Mr. Major, as well as major, switched to religion. So, yeah, that's kind of the journey.
So, what led you to picking religion?
So I met a really close friend of mine, the summer after freshman year of college. Her name is Erin Jagus, and she is wonderful. Oh yeah, you know. And, I worked at the High Ropes course here during the summer. So I got to do that, facilitate a lot of like different groups, facilitate learning, teamwork, group bonding, that kind of thing. And I was standing at the top of one of our towers on our High Ropes course, and Erin came to the top, and it was probably, honestly, it was probably a mixture of anxiety and fear from being up 50 feet in the air, and then also her being super high energy when I have a tattoo of a cross on my forearm. And she pointed at it and said, hey, what's that? And I said, it's a cross. And she's like, no, I know, like, tell me about it. So I was like, well, that's a big part of my testimony. And she's like, 15 second testimony, go. And she held her thumb up like a mic. And I was like, okay. And I went through a 15 second arc, and she was like, hey, that's really cool. Let's sit down and have coffee and talk about that. So I said, okay. So through, my friendship with her, she's one of my best friends. She's amazing. Through my friendship with her, and then her consistently pushing me to get comfortable with my story, to appreciate it and love it, because it's how God's brought me here. I went to, she eventually like pushed me and pressured me into signing up, not really, it was my choice, into signing up for something. It was a ministry here called Lifecast. And basically they teach you curriculum and say, hey, let's equip you. It's with the Winship College Program. And they say, let's equip you to lead a small group. It's a week long. They teach you a bunch of curriculum and then give you a bunch of materials and say, go lead a small group, go have fun, go love on people. And that whole week was the first like camp experience I had. It was the first like Christian oriented teaching thing experience I had. And I loved every second of that week. It was hard, it was challenging. I was forced to teach about things I really had no idea about. The theme that year was identity in Christ and what it means to live out of that. So it was questions I was also wrestling with, excuse me. Through that experience, really, I just had this clarity and comfort in knowing that that's kind of what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I don't know if that looks like teaching. I don't know if that looks like being a pastor to youth ministry. I don't think it's youth ministry. Whatever that ends up being, I want to teach people about Bible. I want to teach people about theology. I want to equip others to function the best as they can in the kingdom of God and in the church.
How did you come to being at peace with your choice in a major?
So the obvious worry after I switched from pre-med was, what do parents think? I switched to econ, so it's not like it's a bad one or anything like that. Switching to religion was another one. And I held up a quote that I heard my dad say a long time ago. And he said something along the lines of, I don't really care what my children are actually doing with their lives as long as they can feed themselves, feed their families, start a family if they want. But it's like the way they do that, as long as it's legal. He didn't go into the specifics behind it, but like they're implied. My dad's a great dad. He said he didn't care as long as they were happy and able to take care of themselves. And he said if that looks like making a lot of money and starting a family and that, like, I'll say traditional route, then awesome. If that looks like even being a pastor, then he would love that more than anything else. So I was like, okay, so Dad seems to be okay with the religious path. So I held that up and said, okay, cool. Dad would not mind this. I did what I wanted. I felt excited about it. The religion department here was great. I took my first few religion courses and have taken like no less than 3 every semester since. And I've just loved every second of it. So it's not ever been something that like I've questioned, something I wasn't sure if I wanted to do. I just kind of went with it and felt pretty excited about it the entire time. It's the first time that I got into a major, because this is my third one, got into a major and really didn't want to do anything else. It was what I did my free time. It was what I did in the morning, at night. And it was all I want to keep doing. So it was, I'll say Bible was the first thing that I realized I can study for the rest of my life and not get bored of. So yeah, I'll let it know.
How did your mom feel about it?
Mom was fine with it. I'm not super close with my mom. So though I talked with her about it, she was more from the perspective of, okay, cool. And then that was pretty much like it. So she was fine with it. It wasn't like she was judgmental or anything like that. It was cool. I'm glad you are doing what you're doing and love what you're doing. Because that's all she's ever wanted. So it was definitely affirmative, yeah.
So what does religion or spirituality mean to you, and what role does it play in your life today?
Every role. it means a lot to me. It means everything to me. It's where my identity is. And I start my morning reading my Bible and praying, and finish my day reading. So I always try to bookend my day's experiences with prayer and contemplation in the Word. I hope and pray that I reflect Christ and the love He shows me to everyone I meet. Obviously that doesn't happen all the time. But what I'm striving for is for that to be the case for every encounter someone has with me to be an encounter with Christ. For every encounter I have with others to be an encounter with Christ. And I mean, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. So it means a huge deal to me. It's all I kind of want to do with my life.
Walk me through a day of high spirituality and a day of low spirituality. For Alex.
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I'm going to go into the statement again that I'm a very high-achieving, high-performing person, so I'm going to preface with that. High spirituality first. I wake up at 5 a.m. I go running for 20 minutes. I take a cold shower, come back. I'll meditate for 10, 15 minutes. I will then read Bible, do some kind of small devotional. I usually read around 6.5 plus chapters a day. That's just because if you read 6.5 chapters a day, you read through the Bible twice in a year. So a really cool person that's been mentoring me told me that, Chaplain Huggins. And I've been meeting with him relatively consistently, and that rocked me a little bit. I was like, oh, I can so do this. Like, this is an easy goal that I can check off every day. Excuse me. So whatever that looks like in the morning, some kind of reading, something that'll make me feel good. I'll try to do something extra biblical reading. I currently am reading Augustine's Confessions, so great work, and something that I'm also working through. And then by that time, after prayer, reading, meditation, is usually around 6:30 or so, and I will go into studying, go eat breakfast, go to classes, that kind of thing. Most of my classes are Bible classes, so a lot of times that also looks like taking really good notes and being really attentive in class, in terms of learning more about scriptures, about theology, other whatever classes I end up taking at the time. And then I usually have or try to have coffee dates or one-on-ones with people. I would love to have one every day. I don't always, but a day of abnormal high spirituality would be maybe 2 or 3 or 4, whatever ends up happening, but just like getting to sit down with people and really talk and have an intentional conversation. And then dinner, and then before bed specifically, read more of my Bible. I usually start with New Testament in the morning, go into Old Testament at night, because I don't know, I just, especially when you're reading like 1 Kings or something, it's just, it's difficult to start your day with that. so I just try to go with something that is a little more, I don't say exciting to read, because that makes me feel like I'm complacent with scripture, but I'll usually try to go into New Testament in the morning, Old Testament in the evening, and then I'll end with something along those lines, pray, and do some type of quiet contemplative practice to get myself ready to actually sleep well. High spiritual day. Low spiritual, wake up, sleep in, sleep through my alarms even, late to class, skip entire morning routine, go through the day, have nothing really planned. I'll say slothful, there we go. And then exhausted by the end of the day, because I also didn't sleep well, didn't do anything that gets me ready and excited, and go to bed early. Maybe have a nap thrown in there at some point during the day as well, because that's the kind of day it is. So, yeah, those are very different days, but.
How do you feel throughout those days? Like, what's the difference?
If I don't start my morning well, I feel terrible. I don't feel grounded. I'll say that's probably the biggest thing. I feel slow. I feel sluggish. Like, there's a haze in front of my eyes. Motivation's low. I don't get a lot done. Just like all around terrible. Disconnected from God, everyone else, myself. Not great.
They're just slower days.
Oh, yeah.
How has your life been different now than you imagined it when you were younger?
Oh, gosh. The fun answer is the first job I ever wanted to work was, I wanted to work at Dunkin' Donuts. So I'm not working at Dunkin' Donuts. God bless.
But you don't love their coffee?
No. Absolutely not. but long story short, I was really little. Worker gave me a donut and I said, wait, I haven't paid for this. And he said, don't worry, I work here. So in my mind, if I worked at Dunkin' Donuts, I'd get free donuts all the time. Probably a good thing that I also didn't work there for my health's sake. So that's different. As well as growing up, I never really knew what I wanted to do. I switched between a lot of different visions, different ideas of vocation. And I played a lot of sports, and that was kind of all I was interested in. So I played a lot of sports, didn't also care about a whole lot of people, didn't know what I wanted to do. So in what I would hope would be, all three of those things have completely done a 180. So very different from when I was younger. I know myself, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses. I know who God has made me to be. I know God. So all of those things are drastically different and some of the biggest facets of my life now.
So how confident are you in your choice of major?
Oh, I mean, I'm going to graduate with this major. I'm 100% confident in it. I know I want to go. I really don't know what I want to do with my future after college. I'll probably go into some kind of seminary. So I'm absolutely confident that I have a gift for this, that this is what I enjoy doing, what I really want to do, and I know there's a need for it in the world. So I'm 100% confident in the major as a whole. Yeah.
Oh gosh. What is your favorite form of scriptural meditation?
Oh, that's a really good question. I like to get creative. I really love taking it slow and piecing through scripture. But at the same time, I think context is so important. So there's this dualistic sense of, I would love if I could just like wake up and like just really dig into one like verse. But a lot of times it's also, I want to say extra charismatic, but that's maybe not the most helpful thing to do, especially if we're reading the text in context. So my favorite, I'll say the arc that I usually try to go by is I'll do 10 minutes of like meditation or something, some kind of grounding practice. I don't have a favorite or anything. A lot of times just sitting down and breathing and focusing on my breath is enjoyable. Praying for eyes to see, ears to hear, opening God's word, reading through X many lines, however much I'm doing, focusing on what the words say, the structure of it, what's before, what comes after, whatever section I'm reading. And then as well, there I think is a maturity to understanding that it has to, as God's word, it can change you post-reading word. So understanding an element of what that is, what that looks like, praying for God to allow it to change you in some form of capacity. And then usually I love asking questions as well. And I usually bring note cards when I do read and write down as many questions as possible, because a lot of times when we glaze over things and don't wrestle with certain parts of the text that are unclear. So I guess maybe a favorite practice is taking things that I know to be true in the Bible, that I know to be very clear and very apparent, and to use those things to interpret the unclear. Yeah, things like Exodus 34, who God says he is, and then using that to interpret something like any of the violent pieces in the Torah post, is something that I enjoy doing, enjoy wrestling with.
What do you do with these questions?
I write them down and bring them to people who know more than I do. That's one thing I do. Another is I make them my paper topics and do my research papers on them. Sometimes I'm satisfied, sometimes I'm not. And there are some dead ends. I don't want to say dead ends. But there's a certain aspect of a certain facet in questioning when something is generally just unclear and there's a mystery component to it of I really don't know if this is exactly what it says it is. And oftentimes biblical writers were not writing everything down exactly as it happened. They're not historians a lot of the time. So like it, which makes things a lot more complicated. I wish that was the intention of everything written down in the Bible, is just for it to be completely exact and true and it to be written down as it's intended to be. And I think there's an element of it, it is written down as it's intended to be, but I just mean in that read as history or read as complete facts. So there's an element of some things are, some things not, like parables, they're not like exact things. Like it's certain aspects like that are difficult and lead to hard questions, lead to, is this in line with who God says he is? Is this in line with the character of God? Is it not? So either wrestle with it myself, go to scholars that I know and trust, or take them to the professors that are here, because we're surrounded by PhDs, so that's usually a plus as well. So either of those.
Who's your biggest mentor on campus?
Dr. Parker. He has been so influential in where I'm at right now. He's my advisor. I've taken almost all of my Bible classes with him. He's an Old Testament scholar. And he is absolutely brilliant. Loves God with all his heart. Wants to love every person he encounters throughout the day with all his heart. And he knows a lot about the Bible, scripture in general. He's a Bible scholar. And also what to do after. Him and I meet for coffee every now and then and talk about life, what I want to do, what I am looking towards, a lot of those questions, which I don't usually have answers for. A lot of times we wrestle together, but those kind of things. He's probably my biggest mentor on campus, yeah.
Do you take on any formal forms of prayer?
What do you mean by formal?
Like, historically formal.
As in, like, praying the Psalms, or
yeah.
Historically formal?
Any of Augustine's studies? Any?
I try to pray the Lord's Prayer every day. Okay. So I feel like that's a common answer in
yeah.
terms of kind of what you're getting at. I think that's helpful. It's something I like to start my day with. And I also think there's a beauty to reciting prayers. So there's two senses. Obviously, I like praying, I don't want to say myself to God, but I like using my own words as
yeah.
well. But I also sometimes, especially when I don't feel I have words, I just know emotions that I have. A lot of times I'll go to the Psalms and pray the Psalms. Because a lot of those are really helpful in terms of conveying emotion. Because they're written by real people with real emotions. And they have a spectrum of emotions attached to them. So going from Psalms such as Psalm 23, of surrendering to God, to I believe it's 137, of dashing the babies across the rocks. So it has a full range of emotions, and I think there's a lot of insight and helpfulness to praying the Psalms. So Lord's Prayer and Psalms, those are probably the two most, like, I want to, I guess, traditional. Was that a question? Traditional?
Yeah.
That I've been taking.
Along with, like, meditation that you've,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.